It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The Pittsburgh Marathon is 4 days away. In the aftermath of the Boston Marathon bombings, officials here are looking at ways to effectively ramp up security, and spectators and runners are being counted on to help. We are scheduled to be joined by Mike Huss, Pittsburgh Public Safety Director, who is looking to make the Pittsburgh Marathon as secure as it possibly can be. And he's with us now by phone from City Hall. Mike Huss, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
And if you have a comment or question or security suggestion you'd like to share, you can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is esspgh@wesa.fm, and you can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Chief Huss, how would you contrast or compare the security plan for the Pittsburgh Marathon before the tragedy in Boston with the one that has come after?
Yeah, we have obviously ramped up considerably the amount of security and the different layers of security. We've pulled upon a lot of different agencies, both at the county, state, and federal level, to assist us, and it's considerably more than what we would have had before.
What are the security measures that you're adding to the Pittsburgh Marathon?
Yeah, I can't get into all of them, but some of them are going to be very visible and very obvious. Our EOD canines, our bomb-sniffing dogs, if you will, will be deployed throughout the 26-mile course. There'll be something you'll see that's very visible. There's going to be a lot of invisible things that will be out there on watch. So there's multiple layers of security, both highly visible, some that are a little visible, and some that you won't detect at all.
Before April 15th, a city might have had security concerns regarding a marathon event, but probably weren't looking to create something as airtight as you are now in Pittsburgh, as cities are all over the world, as London certainly must have in the week or so after the Boston bombings occurred. Since this is an outdoor sporting event and not something taking place in a building where you have almost complete control of who goes in and out of a particular area, can you really take or enforce the security measures that you want to put in place?
Well, obviously you can't lock down a 26-mile marathon course like you can a stadium or a closed venue like that. So it's a soft target, what we consider a soft target. But what we can do is we can put enough personnel and enough eyes on the situation to really improve the security and provide a level of protection that we think is adequate.
Michael Huss, you have obviously been working very hard on the plan, and there are others who are involved with this, but describe what your days have been like in the last couple of weeks. When the Pittsburgh Marathon goes off on Sunday, it'll be less than 3 weeks since the Boston Marathon bombings. So what have your days been like? How much time and effort are you putting into this?
Yeah, and we have a lot of people working very hard from a multitude of agencies. There's been numerous meetings, numerous conversations, and as far as evaluating the plans, a lot of concern from different businesses and the like on how the security is going to impact them. It's not the only thing I'm working on, obviously, but it has taken considerable amount of time. I got to give a lot of credit to the marathon organization themselves. They've worked very hard. So there's a lot of work by a lot of different people that have gone into this.
Who has the final say? Is there someone that as information and plans and maps are being put into place and considered and then assimilated into maybe one final plan, who has the last word on what the plan is or what the options are?
Yeah, and I think, we all work collaboratively, and we use what we call unified command. But, as far as something like that, I will sign off on a final plan probably on either Thursday or Friday, and that'll be the plan that'll be adopted for the events.
It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My guest is City Public Safety Director Michael Huss. I mentioned at the outset that you want to get spectators and runners involved in securing the event. How can they be counted on to help?
Well, obviously, the runners, we ask that you follow the new guidelines that are given out by the marathon themselves as far as not bringing duffel bags and backpacks and things like that to the start of the race. I think our greatest asset we have is the Pittsburghers that live here, and we saw that during G20. Those eyes and ears that we have on our residents being vigilant and reporting suspicious activity is a huge force multiplier for us, and it's something we rely on all the time. And if you look at a lot of these things, that even some of the events that the capture of the second suspect in Boston, when it was noticed by someone, a civilian, someone that's not involved in law enforcement. So those eyes and ears are very important to us in our success of keeping this race safe. So we ask that anyone, if someone sees something suspicious, to make sure they call 911 and let us know. We will go. We will check it out. We will determine whether it is something to worry about or something not to worry about. But, Pittsburghers are great in this type of thing. They're very observant, and they interact well with our law enforcement folks and our police, and we ask them to continue to do that throughout this race.
One of the things that really helped the police and the FBI crack the case in Boston was the video from video cameras and other sources, photographs, pictures of the bombing suspects that were broadcast worldwide within days of the bombing. God forbid anything like what happened in Boston happened here. That said, if you needed to track suspects like the Tsarnaev brothers, are there enough video cameras to give you the pictures you would need?
We have a considerable amount of cameras throughout this race. We've tapped into different businesses and the like that have cameras. We have our own city cameras. We have Port Authority cameras, PennDOT cameras. There's a variety of cameras that cover the city of Pittsburgh, and a lot of the places will have video coverage.
Last week, Pittsburgh Marathon Director Patrice Matamoros said if the marathon were forced to bear the entire cost for extra security, it could mean the end for the nonprofit organization that is the Pittsburgh Marathon. Any ideas at this point who is picking up the cost or how the cost will be absorbed?
The marathon's going to pay for what they generally pay for. The added security that has resulted from the events in Boston, we are going to apply for some federal funding to recover those costs. So we're confident we'll get, the city will recoup the majority of its expenses for the security, but we're not going to let the events that happened and the security plan bankrupt our marathon.
How much did the false alarm in 2010 raise awareness of what needs to be done along the course?
Now, that's a very good point. And, we did hit at the finish line of the 2010 race, we did have an incident involving a suspicious package that the race, end of the race, had to be altered. We learned considerably from that. And our 2011 plan had a considerable amount of EOD bomb-type plans in it in order to deal with any type of situation or device. So that planning effort really paid off as we prepare for this 2013 race.
It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. And again, our guest is City Public Safety Director Michael Huss. Just want to ask you about the paramedics who are, as I understand it, from around the region and are going to be stationed along the course, prepared to use techniques that proved helpful in Boston. Talk about some of the plans and preparations that are in place just for handling injuries that you normally incur during a marathon day and any that you might have to anticipate in light of the new world we're now living in.
Yeah, and our biggest challenge every year with the marathon, public safety-wise, is generally the medical component. Runners that become ill suffer heat stroke and heat-related injuries. That's the majority of what we see. So it's always a very robust plan in order to deal with those types of medical emergencies. Boston was set up for the same thing. What they did see was, they ended up dealing with more trauma patients than they had ever planned for. And we're going to have some measures in place for that, but we still believe the majority of the paramedic work we're going to see is actually medical-related illnesses as a result of the race.
So as far as you're concerned, Michael Huss, we're prepared, the city is as prepared as it possibly can be for any worst-case scenario?
It is. I'm very comfortable with where our plan's at, with where the security plan's at. I'm anticipating a very safe race this weekend.
Just want to switch gears on one other topic before I let you go, and that is the Rock and Roll Half Marathon. On Monday of this week, the Rock and Roll Half Marathon, scheduled to be held here in Pittsburgh in August, was canceled. You supported that decision. What was your reasoning behind that?
Well, every time there's a special event in town, they need to apply for a permit. We have a group of professionals from every one of our city departments and bureaus that review these permits. And when this August date was picked, they were notified back in November that the Special Events Committee did not agree with the date. And I understand there was different reasons they wanted that date and the like, but they made a decision not to approve the permit, and I support that decision. I feel that the folks that made the decision made it for the right reasons. It's about protecting the public safety. And I don't think it was, wise to have a marathon in Pittsburgh in August. When you look at all the different dates that the Rock and Roll Marathon's held in other cities, and you look at the average high temperatures, Pittsburgh was by far the highest on that particular date, higher than any other city on their average temperature on a date that they were having a marathon. So I think it was done in the best interest of public safety. I understand some people aren't happy with that decision, but that's the decision I saw was the best course of action.
Is there a time that such an event could be held in Pittsburgh? Because it sounds like folks are going to try to revisit this and maybe reschedule a Rock and Roll Half Marathon. So when, in your opinion, should it be held?
Well, it needs to be held in the spring or in the fall. In July and August months are our hottest times of the year here. The humidity at those times of year are generally high. It needs to be held in one of those times that it's more conducive to that type of running. What I don't want to see is an event overwhelm our region's emergency medical services and then, our other services out to our residents and visitors suffer. So we want to be able to prevent these types of large-scale number of patients if we can. And we support the events in the city. We have so many events throughout the city that we provide protection for all year. And that's the things that makes our city wonderful. But we can't take unnecessary risk when I believe it can be avoided by simply picking another date.
Michael Huss is the Public Safety Director for the City of Pittsburgh. Chief Huss, I want to thank you for joining us. It's been an enlightening conversation, and we certainly wish you a very safe and uneventful Pittsburgh Marathon on Sunday.
Thank you very much, and have a great day.
You too. Coming up, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me host Peter Sagal talks about what listeners love about the weekly quiz show on Essential Pittsburgh, 90.5 WESA.